Is this the Christina version or is this the original?
Christina.
Did you know that there's an original version?
No.
Really?
No. Who sings it?
You being serious?
Yeah. Madonna?
Madonna.
Madonna.
I've heard both of them. I'd have to say the second one's better.
This happens to be a great version.
Yeah.
Who's the original Lady Marmalade?
I just asked you.
Let me see. LaBelle. Patti LaBelle.
Man, this one got a little more to it.
Patti LaBelle version is great, though. Never heard of it.
What was the profession of Lady Marmalade?
I think she made jams and jellies. Marmalade is a jam or a jelly, Flair. You look very confused there.
I thought she was a dancer.
That's what I was getting after. I don't know what Lady Marmalade is, but if you listen to the song, I don't think they have a W-2.
Marmalade's a jam?
Well, I believe, yeah, marmalade.
Huh.
You know that?
No.
Really?
Never had it?
This Lady Marmalade's dodging taxes.
That Concord jam.
I'm sorry?
Is it Concord?
Now, do you know what voulez-vous coucher avec moi means?
Thank you in France.
I believe that's merci.
Oh, merci beaucoup, yeah.
I think it means, do you want to have sex?
Oh.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir?
Don't ask nobody that. Your answer will be no. Give you a heads up. Your feelings don't get hurt.
See if that's what voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir means.
How would I, can I just type in Lady Marmalade?
Also,
lyrics?
Let's give that to Don Bailey Jr. for the Pinstripe Bowl.
He's going to be so mad.
Joe, voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir?
Write that one down. I like that.
How would that come out for Don Bailey Jr.? All right, let's get to Clay Ferrero here. 5 o'clock hour, by the way, on Hockman and Crowder, presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. It's the Funky Buddha Brewery happy hour. Clay Ferrero is the sports anchor on Local 10. We like to do our Ferrero side chats with him. He is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Hello, Clay.
Guys, I don't know why you're bringing me on. I can't do better than breaking down Lady Marmalade.
Now, do you remember the original with Patti LaBelle?
I do, and I think you're right on what it means, and I think it ends with me tonight, if I'm not mistaken. So I'll be curious if Falero, I didn't know Falero could multitask like that. He gets me on the phone, and then I hear him reading the update, and now he's over there getting information for you guys. So
you know how I do, Clay.
No, no one knows how you do. And all the information he's giving us is generally wrong. And he cannot. He's the opposite of a guy that could multitask.
Voulez-vous, blah, blah. Is that, do you want to sleep with me tonight?
I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry. Can you say it again, please?
Voulez-vous, ça, ça.
Yeah.
Voulez-vous, coleslaw? What did you say?
Voulez-vous, coleslaw? C'est soir.
Clay, don't tell him he did good.
Appreciate that, Clay.
Where do you stand? Clay, I'm going to jump right into sports here. Where do you stand on Ryan Tannehill, Adam Gase, and the Miami Dolphins and their future?
Where do you want to start? We kind of had this question the other day, who is most likely to be gone? And I think what I said about Ryan Tannehill from the beginning is, I think when he's healthy, I think he can be pretty good. I think you're talking about a top 12 quarterback when he's healthy. But, guys, I don't know if he's ever going to be 100% healthy again, at least not for an extended period of time. And I think Adam Gase loves him. I think Adam Gase, if you went to him and you said Ryan Tannehill is going to be healthy next year, then I think he'd absolutely bring him back and let his career ride on it. But I also think when he hurt his shoulder a few weeks ago, and again, this is just reading body language and tone of voice and all that, I think he's getting a little bit tired of wondering whether or not he's going to be able to have a healthy Tannehill. And so that's not me having any inside info. I just think if Adam Gase is going to let his career ride on the arm of a quarterback, you got to know if he's going to be able to play and at least be 100%. So I think we may not have seen the last of Ryan Tannehill when he rolls out there at Buffalo, but I do think at the very least, they're going to explore bringing in somebody who could be competition moving forward.
If you had to make one move for the Dolphins offseason. You could get rid of Gase. You could get rid of Tannehill. You could get rid of Mike Tannenbaum. Or you can keep them all. What would be the one move?
Well, I think if you remove Mike Tannenbaum, I think you're basically saying you're starting over. Because I think, and maybe this is just me being Pollyanna, pie in the sky, and hoping that everything is going to be great. I think what Stephen Ross has done in the past hasn't worked, where he's done this thing kind of piecemeal, right? Like, he doesn't fire Dennis Hickey. He brings in Mike Tannenbaum as an advisor to Dennis Hickey, and then you don't really know who's actually in charge, and then you fire Joe Philbin, but who's really picking the next coach? And you need to do a complete house cleaning if you're going to do a house cleaning. So I don't think just firing Adam Gase is an option. I think you would look at the top. Personally, part of me would really like to see what this franchise could do if they tried to hit the reset button and start over and do that either at the top or with Ryan Tannehill. Look, Ryan Tannehill, I think, has earned the respect of his teammates. I think when he's out there and he's healthy, and I'm a broken record, I think he's fine. But I also think that you know what the ceiling is with this team with him out there. So I'd probably look to go a different direction with the quarterback if you gave me one.
And, Clay, after the game, Rashad Jones comes out and says, I just play and they coach. He says he can be more productive at strong safety, you know, if I want to paraphrase what he said. And then Drake comes out and says, this is 2018, not 2017. My man Kalen Ballage had 12 carries. Drake had one. Drake was kind of critical. Is this criticism of the coaching staff from their players, is it justified?
Well, I think it's kind of, we've seen this before. It seems to be whenever there is a top-level player that, these guys seem to find issues in that Dolphins locker room. And at some point, you have to look at the coaching staff and figure out, why are they consistently having these problems? Now, my thing with the whole Rashad Jones situation is, you know, he's better off as a strong safety. He knows he's better off as a strong safety. And my question is, do they think that T.J. McDonald is a better option there right now? And if so, they're just putting their best defensive backs out there on the field. Okay, I get that. When it comes to Kenyon Drake, though, I almost feel like there was a little bit of an Eric Spoelstra thing going on here, where when one guy goes out, instead of just giving perhaps your better player or the more accomplished player the touches, in basketball would be the minutes, you don't want to mess up the rotation. So I feel like he went out there and he had a certain game plan where, all right, Kenyon Drake was going to be the guy catching the ball out of the backfield. Frank Gore was going to be my ball carrier, the bell cow, so to speak. So I'm just going to let Ballage take Gore's carries that were supposed to be there. And my whole thing with that is, get the ball in the hands of your best player. And that's not to say that Ballage is not an outstanding guy once the ball is in his hands, but I think you saw there are some issues with pass protection. There are some things that you need to clean up there. And look, you put Kenyon Drake out there for a reason. He's really, really good. Let him have the ball more often.
Clay Ferraro from Local 10 is with us. The Adam Gase tenure has been exactly 500 football, right? He was 10-6 the first season, 6-10 the second season. He's 7-7 this season. Do you notice much of a difference between the Joe Philbin era and the Adam Gase era? Can you see anything that jumps out at you that is dramatically different?
I don't. I do see a little bit more. I know nobody's going to want to hear this. There's a little more innovation on offense. I see little things on individual plays. But what I also see is refusal to stick with certain things that are working. The running game, we said this last week. What is this team's identity? I have no clue what this team's identity is and what they can lean on when they go on the road. And so when you don't have that thing that you know who you are, when the chips are down, how are you going to, when you face adversity, how are you going to win? So look, I think he's come up with some nice little wrinkles here and there. But I just wonder what would have happened if, especially in that New England game and this past weekend, if they had just tried to lean on that running game a little bit more and things that are working and you're getting a lot of yards per carry. But that's been kind of the tenure, is when the running game is working, I think they try to get a little too cute sometimes. And so ultimately, I think then you see largely the same results that you saw with Joe Philbin. So the net result is the same, even if you look a little bit different on the way there.
And Clay, talking about the running game, let's go to the run defense. Zimmer fires the OC. He says he wants to run more. They don't run enough. Dalvin Cook needs the ball. Latavius Murray needs the ball. We all know the Vikings are going to run the ball 30 times this game. Why didn't Matt Burkett and the Dolphins know they were going to run the ball like that?
Well, listening to what they were saying after the game, it sounded as if they knew it was coming, but it sounded as if players were not doing what they were supposed to do, that guys were trying to, not freelance, but trying to do too much. And you know, I think I've heard you talk about this on the show sometime, that you know, you used to have Zach Thomas there, who would kind of make sure that everybody was where they were supposed to be. And you had that confidence, right, that if you did your job and if Zach put you in a place, you knew you were going to be where you were supposed to be, and ultimately you were going to win the down. And yep. And I don't know that these guys either have that confidence, and maybe it's just not because you have so many linebackers there that are young and they're just learning, but it sounded like the young linebackers who played so well against New England last weekend came into this game and were out of gaps. They were not getting to where they needed to be, and he said they were trying to do a little too much. Adam Gase said that after the game. Well, my question is, why does that issue seem to keep popping up? You know, especially if you come off of this New England game where guys were supposedly doing what they're supposed to do, why don't they do it again the following week? So I guess, Shane, my question would then be, all right, if you knew it was coming and you said you knew it was coming, why can't you get them to consistently do the thing that you're telling them to do when they saw it work the week before? Where is that consistency? And again, my guess would be that gets back to coaching.
Clay Ferrero, Local 10. Quickly on the way out, you got a problem with Manny Diaz coming back and coaching the defense for the Pinstripe Bowl?
No, not at all. And I do think what I like about it is it gives a little bit of a bridge for Banda and Patke to start to learn, all right, we know the ins and the outs. We know what Manny likes to do. But, all right, how does he call this? So my guess would be it lets him in on the game plan a little bit more. It's kind of a nice bridge to the next year. And look, I kind of like the idea that you get to finish what you started, and I like the idea that Manny Diaz wanted to do that, where you get a lot of these guys that all they want to do is go to their new job and start recruiting. So I think it's a good thing all the way around.
But wouldn't you want to see what Harold and Kumar can do as the defensive coordinator?
Harold and Kumar.
Isn't that who they hired?
What? Stop
Didn't they
it.
Hire Harold and Kumar?
That's Florida Gators hate coming out. See, he loves that.
Man, see, this is why Channing Crowder is the most popular guy in South Florida media, because he finds a way to needle all of these fan bases, but he's so lovable that you just want to go and hang out with him.
I mean, it's crazy. He hates the Hurricanes. He hates Dwayne Wade. I think he hates Udonis Haslam.
I love young Wade.
I think Channing hates me, and I still love the guy.
I know
my
he
man,
hates
Clay,
you.
No.
Hates you. Oh, I mean, you should hear what he says. You should hear. Oh, my goodness.
We used to run the streets back in the day.
Clay Ferrero, watch him on Local 10. Thank you for making time for us, Clay.
Take care, fellas. Happy holidays. Enjoy the season.
To you, too. Always enjoy our Ferrero side chats, Harold and Kumar.
That's not who they hired?
All Miami Hurricanes sports action can be heard here on AM 560, 96.5 FM HD2, sponsored by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Sam Madison going to join us next?
Yes, sir.
The Mad Dog? That's what they called him, Mad Dog?
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about grab my strong hand. From Harold and Kumar.
Wow. Oh, like why are you thinking
that? It's not from Harold and Kumar.
It's not.
Is it?
No, it's from Scary Movie.
Grab my strong hand.
Yeah, it's the Butler Scary Movie too.
Harold and Kumar had a little crazy dude too.
Talking about
yeah, like what? Yeah, what?
I'm the movie guy here.
Can you get it straight for Sam Madison? Can you put it all together? I'm losing you here. I don't know what's happening.
No, me and Sam locked down. 39 interceptions between the two of us. You know I'm cool with Sam.
It's not really between the two of you. It was him. It was all him. One for you.
39 with us.
All him. One for you.
He had 38.
Sam Madison. He's gonna join us next.
Radio.com.
There you go. Little Mix-a-Lot. Put him on the glass. What's he talking about?
I don't know.
The wipers? Put the wipers on the glass?
I never know what he's talking about. What glass?
Put them on the glass, says Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Would love to be at their party to figure it out, though. Even though I don't know what they're talking about.
I told
about.
You, when I was a promotions director up in West Palm Beach at a radio station called Star 95, we brought in Sir Mix-a-Lot. This song, he was trying to, you know, find his next Baby Got Back. It wasn't happening. But he did this song, put him on the glass, and we hired him to do a club date for us. It was a club, I think it was Splash Beach Club on Okeechobee Boulevard. And they did bring out a giant piece of plexiglass, and the club goers, certain gender in the club, was invited to put them on the glass.
You went first? Hawk.
You only live once.
And then went y'all, yeah.
YOLO.
Actually, we got Sam coming on. When I first got to the Dolphins, I partied now. I went hard. Sam didn't even act like he was going to hang out with us young guys.
He was beyond that.
Hey, Sam, man, Friday's practicing at noon. Man, it's noon, bro. Let's slide up the cocoa. Nope. I'm not messing with y'all. No. Leave me alone. Sam wouldn't even act like he's hanging out.
All right, well, Sam Madison, legendary Miami Dolphin, is on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Is that true, Sam, that young...
Put him on the glass. Yeah,
man. Did young Channing Crowder want to party with you? And veteran Sam Madison said, nuh-uh.
Absolutely not, y'all. Hey, I'm too old to be doing all that. Not to see enough putting it on the glass, and I already know Channy going to try to have me out at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm old, man. I got to be able to run in the morning. They was already laughing and joking at me on Wednesday because I can barely move out there. So I was like, nah, I can't be giving them extra ammunition, man. I got to make sure I'm all prepared for the days of practice.
Yep. Some of the vets would go out, but they would be hurting, but they'd still do it for us. Sam would be like, nah, hell no, I'm not messing with
y'all. Were you a partier, though, in your first days in the league, your first years in the league, Sam?
Absolutely. I had Mr. Fort Lauderdale, Calvin Jackson himself, to show me around town. So I was in a little bit of this and a whole lot of that. But, you know, like I tell you. I think I did more in 2 years than most people are doing in their whole lifetime. I had enough. I was like, it's no mods. No mods.
You tapped out? You tapped out.
Absolutely. I tapped out. I tapped out early. Hey, listen, I ain't seen a whole lot of NFL players beat Miami, so I gave mine up. I turned it in as well.
Sam was a 9-year vet by the time I got there.
Oh, though, my goodness. Yeah. He was way out of the game by then.
He wasn't running after us no more.
He had already been through his a little bit of this and a whole lot of that. Sam Madison is with us. Dolphins are 7-7. We talked a lot yesterday. It was a very different Monday than the previous Monday when they had the Miami Miracle. So Dolphins are 7-7. Yeah, the game Sunday, that one felt like an emphatic end to the season for me. It felt like anything that you might have been expecting, it was like I felt like we kind of got slapped back to reality. Did you get that feeling or no?
Yeah, you know, when you have that balloon and it's a happy birthday balloon and then, you know, it's in your house for like a whole week and then you see the air just slowly seeping out, that it started coming out very, very fast. And you're like, no, is this not happening? Is this happening to us right now after last week? But, you know, man, this is a football team. I mean, you never want to hear it. And the players, they really aren't talking about it. But, you know, the things they – and it sounds like a broken record, the thing that they're going through during the season. Last year with the hurricane and all the different personnel that was going on with the football team. Now this year, the number of injuries that we have over the course of the whole entire football team, losing the playmakers that we brought in to help us get over that hump, it's just really tough to be in this situation. But the bright side is these young players that we have on the roster. You know, when you have these young players on the roster and you get to the latter part of the season, you want to put them in and see exactly, you know, what they can do. And you look at Balazs the other day and you're like, where has that been? We had Frank Gore, so he couldn't really get on the football field. You have Kenyon Drake, who's a home run hitter, but now you know the pieces that we've drafted over the last couple of years. You have something to root for, but guys don't want to look to the future. They want to look right now, and they want to be productive right now, and they want to be relevant in the NFL for cheering on their teams. And fans are a little bit frustrated, and you know, we're in that same position where
we're not bad enough, you know, to be in the top, to get those top players. And, you know, we are pretty good where we're not in a situation to where, you know, we're at the bottom of the barrel. So we're in a catch 22. And but Cameron Wake on the podium after the game kind of summed it up for me. You know, he's been coming to that podium year after year, week after week this past season, and he had that energy that, okay, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep digging. We're going to keep fighting. Yesterday, you know, Cam didn't even come and put on his suit. He just got on with a regular Nike shirt. And you know that, you know, when you see Cam in a situation like that, you know, it's starting to wear on him.
And, Sam, that game, it looked bad because it started off 21-0. They came out like they didn't want to play. But I kept talking about yesterday. At one point in the end of the third quarter, it was 21-17. That is a ball game. And then the next four Dolphin drives, Sam, all fourth quarter drives, those four drives had 18 plays in them. All together, they made negative 6 yards, had 6 sacks. Yeah. Is that explainable, Sam? What happened? Because I was looking, and I didn't know what the hell was going on, because that's embarrassing.
Well, you know, the things that happen is, Kenny, you know, when there's a blitz that's called, or if it's man-to-man, and if your guy blocks, you know, we always say if he blocks, you just add to the rush. And those linebackers, those safeties, they was creeping up to the line of scrimmage, and you can hear the offensive line and Tunstall saying, yeah, they was coming with some exotic blitzes, and we didn't know where they were coming. No, it wasn't any exotic blitzes, but when you have personnel, your personnel, your running back or your tight end is blocked, you just add yourself to the blitz and find the open gap and put pressure on the quarterback. So they was adding guys up to the line of scrimmage, but, you know, it just came to a situation where we know that you have to pass the ball. We know that you can't block us, and we're going to do what is going to make us successful, and you're going to be unsuccessful. And they did it. They blitzed, and they whooped our tails up front, and 9 sacks later, more than or tied for the most sacks of a Dolphin quarterback in franchise history. So this is something that we've been seeing. We can go back to that Cincinnati game where it just was an influx of twists, TE stunts, ET stunts. And I go back and I talk about it all the time. I was like, how are you not able to be able to see a TE stunt or ET stunt when we're talking about the tackle in the end, whoever goes for, or the end goes first and the tackle goes second? Why you can't pick up that blitz in the National Football League?
Sam, we run that in high school, don't we?
Absolutely. The TE stunt and the ET stunt. That's why I was like, how is it all of a sudden that this is some type of exotic rush formation that we've never seen before? It's just one of those situations where it just kept catching me off guard, and I'm not really used to it. These guys, they have a couple more games, and they still are mathematically in it. They're not out of it yet. So look for these guys to come out and play extremely well. This week, it's the battle of the Sunshine State. You have us versus Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars think that they're a pretty good football team and tougher than the Miami Dolphins, and they're going to try to prove and show that as well and try to get another win because they've been on a downward spiral.
Sam Madison is with us. Do you have any idea what Stephen Ross is thinking? There was some video of him walking underneath the tunnel there in Minnesota. He did not look like a happy camper.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Ross, every week he comes down, comes down for the week, comes down to the field, to engage with the players, the teams, and the coaches. And, you know, he's a person where, you know, he wants to win. I mean, he's the guy that, you know, when you look at this franchise, he wants to do what's best for it. And, you know, as of right now, if I was the owner and I'm putting everything together, I wouldn't be a happy camper as well. But, you know, this is a situation that we're in right now, and he understands these situations. It's not going to, you know, be a Super Bowl championship team. It's not going to be built overnight, but, you know, 7-8 years now, I'm pretty sure he thought it would go a little bit faster. It's taking longer than he expected. But, you know, I think he's definitely going to hold some people's foot to the fire after this last game. You know, when you look at the course of the last few years, he's been using people to make best decisions for him. But right now, Mr. Ross, I think, and just looking at his body language, he's like, you know, I'm getting fed up with this, and I'm going to try to put the best product on the football field. And he's going to, I think, do something drastic at the end of the season if it doesn't turn around, just because of the way that we've been winning these football games and losing those very close ones as well. But he's going to have some very tough decisions to make. But his football team, we have some pretty good players. Now we just have to get that depth to be able to sustain us when we do have a negative or something happen to our number one starting players.
And, Sam, you talk about something impactful, you know, something drastic, some kind of change because of what's going on now, 29th in defense, 29th in offense. That's not good enough. What's the most impactful change to an organization, a change at GM, head coach, or quarterback?
You know, one of those things, when you always look at the draft or at the end of a season as a player, all of those guys in that locker room, they understand and they know exactly what they need to really help that football team, you know, transform into a winning organization. And, you know, year after year, you know, guys don't really say anything about it. You know, they just let the organization handle that. But, you know, I've been in a couple of different situations. I've been in a situation where we've changed GM. I've been in a situation where we tried to change quarterbacks and head coaches. The one thing that I've seen throughout the course of my career playing and just observing from the outside and the inside is that one player. It could be that player or the coach. Nobody really cares about the GM. They're like, okay, just give me somebody here that can play football. I don't really care who it is, as long as, you know, it's a live and able body and they can learn and they can move and they can do the things that the defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator wants them to do. But, you know, it really comes down to the if it's the head, a specific head coach. Just say when Jimmy was coming to the Dolphins from Dallas, that was a big move. Everybody around the country was like, oh my God, Jimmy Johnson just moved. And that, now you look at McVay out in LA. When they first hired him, nobody really said, oh, you know, McVay is going to do this, he's going to do that. It just was a situation that, like, okay, we'll see. But when you add the type of players that LA added, and now you see the production, everybody's gung ho about McVay. And even when they had a guy like Jimmy coming down here, but if you get a quarterback that could come in and look at the things that Cleveland is doing, it just depends on which way you go. General manager, I don't care who it is. Nobody's going to really care. All they're going to say is, hey, get somebody in here and help us win football games. But for me, it's either going to be the quarterback or head coach. Either one of those guys can definitely change the attitude and the momentum in a franchise, in an organization.
Sam Madison, legendary Miami Dolphin. We love speaking with you. Thank you for making time for us, Sam.
Put him on the plexiglass, man. Put him on the glass.
Now get out of here and go get into a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
A little bit of what?
Yeah,
a little bit of ass. A little bit of that.
A little bit of ass. What? What was I thinking? See you, Sam. Sam Madison there, everybody's favorite Miami Dolphin.
What's wrong with you? You got excited.
You can listen to every Dolphins game right here on WQAM. It's sponsored by Game Time at the Shops at Sunset Place. Game Time, watch it, play it, win it. And by Transworld Business Advisors. Looking to sell your business? Let the experts at Transworld Business Advisors help you get what your business is worth. Log on to tworld.com and make sure you listen to the Dolphins right here. AM 560, 96.5 FM HD2, WQAM. QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com. Welcome.
Yeah, here we go. That's what I'm talking about, little Gino Latino. Yeah. Crank it up, Valero. Come on.
Welcome.
Uh-oh. Welcome. All of Miami. Well,
welcome.
Those those in Miami that are listening to AM radio are cranking it up right now. There's a party going on. I bet you heard this back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
When you were a rookie.
No.
You don't think so?
When I was a rookie?
Yeah.
Man, I was a rookie in 05.
I think this still gets play in the clubs, doesn't it?
No, no.
Down here?
I heard this back in the day, like when this music was in, but not in 05.
You don't think?
No. They weren't doing this. Oh, I wasn't in the establishments that played this.
I was listening. Play this in Iguana?
Yeah, I listened to Trick Daddy. That's when Trick was big, 05. What's wrong with Iguana?
Iguana was the joint for a long time.
I see so many people get beat up in Iguana. Good grief.
Oh, I have a surprise for you. I bet the Panthers over tonight.
Congratulations. Not for us.
Yes, for us.
Man, you can't do that.
Panthers, just quit with me, man.
Panthers over 6 goals tonight at minus 115, by the way. So it's, the odds aren't in our
They got scary Harry Sateri back?
I don't think so. It's probably Roberto Luongo in goal.
How would you do that?
I don't know. We just got to chase. We gotta fix what's been wrong.
Chase?
Yeah. This one's like scratching off a scratch-off ticket. This one is really scratching off a ticket. Well, what are you going to do? Got K-Rodge coming up at 6 tonight. K-Rodge is coming up at 6. Then you'll have Panthers hockey. They are in Buffalo. Valero and I, after the show, I am going for the first time in my life to Waffle House. It's right down the street. I've never been there. K-Rodge looking at me like I'm crazy. Never been there. I love waffles, by the way, and I love hash browns.
That's what you're going to do it all.
I'm doing it. The stuff I've heard about for 20 years. Valero, have you been to Waffle House?
I have. There's one in Davie that I've been to a couple of times, and when I go up north.
And you've been to Waffle House. You lived in Gainesville for a while. Oh, I imagine that's fine dining up there.
Atlanta, too, now. Well, it's fine dining in Gainesville, it is. But Atlanta has a bunch of Waffle Houses, too.
So we're going tonight. Valero, if you weren't listening earlier in the show, Valero, every year for Christmas, gets us awful T-shirts from Kohl's.
A T-shirt from Kohl's, not awful.
Just awful T-shirts from Kohl's.
After their brand.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Like, it's shirts that we would never wear. He hands them to me in crowd. Like, they're not even in, like, any kind of bag.
I don't wrap gifts,
like,
no.
But, there's just nothing festive about handing someone a shirt from Kohl's. Like, just don't get me anything. So, he said, hey, what do you want for Christmas this year? And I think that he thought I would say, oh, you don't have to get us anything. And then that would be his excuse to go get a $6 shirt at Kohl's and hand it to me. So I said, I would like you to take me to Waffle House. It's right down the road. It's literally a 30-second walk from the radio station. So I said, just take me to dinner at Waffle House. And Crowder was going to come with us. We didn't plan this very well. This is
not at all.
Planned just a few hours ago, and Crowder's got plans tonight. And Valero has no other free nights this week. And so you're out. You get a shirt.
I think I'm getting a bottle of wine, I believe.
Bottle of wine? Is that what you're...
Yeah, I don't know what else to get him. He didn't like my shirts.
So Woo. Where will you go? Trader Joe's? You'll get,
I'm not getting no damn Trader Joe's.
You trust me, you're getting a Trader
Any
Joe's.
Any grocery store, yeah.
$2
if
chuck.
It is a $2 bottle of wine. I'm pouring it on your
I
car.
I guarantee you.
I'm pouring it on your car for later.
And didn't you say you majored in wineology or something?
Wine history.
That's why I did this. Because he called himself expert.
So
before.
You want to see what he can bring to the table?
And he said, what do you like? I said, just a nice cab. Because you're a wine expert, so just give me a nice cab.
I'm going to get you a fire cab.
You don't know what that is.
Uh-huh.
So how much will you spend on a bottle of wine? How much will you spend on Waffle House tonight for me?
That's probably going to be $20.
Y'all going to this one right down the road?
Mm-hmm.
Man, stay at your chest while you eat.
Well, I was kind of hoping that you were going to go with us, and it wasn't for your company.
Stare at you know what to help y'all?
Hey, can you walk in with us just
nope.
Walk in with us.
I got a long drive, but I know what to help y'all now. Act like a couple.
Then they won't bother us?
Yeah, act like a couple. Y'all are on a date. They'll leave you alone. For real, man.
Waffle House, I've been told, are the friendliest places on the planet.
It's nice, but if anybody wants to pick on somebody, man, y'all look like prime meat to pick.
I'm telling you. No, I got my Kohl's jacket on, man.
You come with us.
Hawk, you have on a Salt Life shirt. You've never been on a boat in your life.
I know. I love these shirts, though. Hey, get me Valero, a Salt Life shirt.
Look at that jacket.
What is that? What are you wearing?
It's garbage.
It is tech gear.
Iron. an iron-on, an iron-on soccer jersey with Tech Gear jacket.
Hey, man, this soccer jersey's authentic.
Now, if there's a bully in this Waffle House, he's coming to y'all's table.
I'll give him my my cornbread.
No, Mark, no. You're telling me get his own damn portion of cornbread. That's your cornbread.